1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. I want to finish out the rest of this chapter tonight. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now you are the body of Christ. Does that do something, that statement? Doesn't that do something for you? You are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for your guidance, Lord. Show us your way. Give us the right desire, the right heart to pursue your way. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, that just does something. That statement, it moves me when it says, you are the body of Christ. And all the responsibility that goes along with that. That because we're the body of Christ, we can't sit idle, especially while the world is doing its thing and leading so many people down the road to hell. And so, as the body of Christ, it says that God has appointed these. That word appoint, understand, that means he's apportioned out, he's selected. And he has special functions for his people, right? For each individual member of the body. And he goes down the list, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this list, but we are going to go through it tonight. And he said that he appointed some apostles. Now, just so you know, apostles were somebody sent on a mission with full authority of the one he represented. The idea there is that you go back to the apostles that Jesus himself had hand-selected, and those guys had full authority in the church, in the infancy of the church of that day. Now, to be an apostle, you read in Acts chapter 1 when they were selecting Matthias, it needed to be someone who had personally been handpicked or who had witnessed the life of Christ and had seen the resurrected Christ, but also it was those that Jesus had handpicked himself, right? And so, you know, I've always wondered, and I don't have the answer. I've wondered about old Matthias, you know, that they selected. Were they right? Were they wrong? Should they have let Jesus just do his own selecting? Because you know later that Jesus selected the Apostle Paul. I don't have the answer to that. I've thought about that a lot and questioned that a lot. But anyway, that's what an apostle was. And no, we don't have apostles today. I do not believe that we still have apostles today because they're not needed, right? And you have to meet those qualifications. And quite frankly, I've never met anybody who's met Jesus face to face, okay? We go on. He's appointed some prophets. Prophets, of course, were those who speak on behalf of God. And specifically, to a large extent, it was they spoke about the future, like John. And then he said, teachers. You know what that is? Miracles. The gift of miracles that some had. Supernatural ability is literally what that meant. And the gift of healings, the gift of helps, the gift of administration. Administration, you know, we think of administration as paperwork. That's not what that word means. That word administration means leadership. And it was literally a word that described the pilot of a ship and the skill with which that pilot would guide the ship. So administrations are God-gifted men of leadership. tongues, and you know what tongues are, languages. But where it really gets interesting, and we'll talk about all those more next week. But where it really gets interesting to me is in verse 31. Earnestly desire, it says. That's an interesting phrase in the English. The Greek word literally means to set your heart on. It was used to describe things like jealousy. That's not saying earnestly desire to be jealous, no. But that kind of passion. Even to the point of being covetous. It's not saying be covetous, but it's having that drive or that desire, that deep-seated want. It's to set your heart on. Have a great interest in what? What should we as the members of the body of Jesus Christ set our hearts on and have such a passionate desire for? The best gifts. Do you realize that some gifts are better than others? And he said, have that passionate desire for the best or the greatest gifts, the most useful gifts, the most versatile gifts that will always be right or always be the answer for whatever situation you face. And then we're going to talk about the best gifts later in chapter 13 next week. But I want you to think just for a moment, what is the best gift of all? If you could have one thing, if you could ask Jesus for one thing tonight, what would that one thing be? Chapter 13, verse 13 is what it should be. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. If there's one thing you could ask Jesus for tonight, Lord, this is the one gift I want above anything else, Lord, give me love. Why? Why? I mean, wouldn't it be more exciting if you could perform some supernatural activity and so people would look at you and say, wow, look at him? No. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could have a supernatural ability of leadership so that people would just flock to you and follow you no matter what? No. The best gift and the gift that you and I should have a passion for is the spiritual gift of love. And I'm not talking about love as we would define it. I'm talking about love as God would define it. Love that is there no matter what. That no matter what you do to me or that I do to you, that passionate love and desire for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ would always be there. I mean, think about it. What was it that caused God to give His only Son to be crucified for man? It was love. What was it that caused Jesus to stand before Pilate silent and give no defense to Himself? Love. What was it that held Jesus to the cross of Calvary while everybody down below Him was mocking Him, spitting on Him, and giving Him vinegar to drink? What made the Son of God stay there? It's love. You want to change the world. You want to change our community. You want to change our teens, our college ministries, our young adults, our senior adults. You want to change lives. It will be because of love. Period. Not because you or I are impressive, but because of a love that can only come as a gift from God. You understand, you don't have the ability to love like this. You can't manufacture this love. This love only comes from God Himself as a spiritual gift. Challenge tonight is pursue, have a passionate desire to love people as the Lord Jesus Christ has loved people.